These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to go full Suck at Felger Friday?
I need some music for that, right?
Like, if you want.
Yeah.
What kind of music?
The Free Friday. Like, how do you... I don't know. How do you start the show? Like something... One of those weird... Don't they play a Pearl Jam
song, typically.
Yeah. Kind of started with that and then roll, but I kind of like...
Oh, we need an opening thought.
Oh. Hold on, let me get set up here.
It's Friday.
I'm wiping down. You want to go first or should I?
I'll go first.
Good, and you?
You want me to go?
Yeah, let's get past the pleasantries.
who wants to go first?
Jimmy, go ahead, release the hounds. I'm all set up.
Your phone lines are open.
I'm wiped
now.
Down. That Rich Shirtley, he's a disgusting human being.
617-779-0985.
Like animals in here.
Call early, call often today on this Friday.
Yep.
We'll leave it open to you.
Sleeves, how you doing? Coffee boy? Coffee house kid.
Coffee house kid. Here's my opening thoughts, though.
They only left out one thing. Agenda Free Friday is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. We gave our opening thoughts off the top of the two. Now we're just taking your phones. You can weigh in on whatever you want. We'll go back to them right now. Matt in Millbury on J.D. Martinez, who, according to Maz, is the Red Sox MVP right now, not Mookie Betts. Go ahead, Matt. Hello, Matt. Okay, babe, you weren't quite ready, but we are back taking phone calls, so be ready. Frank in Haverhill. Hi, Frank.
How you doing?
Good.
So, I honestly don't believe that the Sox honestly made a deal for Machado or offered a deal for Machado. But say they did, who would you want to give up? Would you want to give up Xander or Devers? Because I know he desires to play shortstop, but...
Would you, Frank? Would you give up either?
I don't know. I mean, Bogaerts is an outstanding fielder, in my opinion, but...
He's an outstanding fielder?
I think he's a great fielder.
You do? Okay, I'm going to let you go. Because I just respectfully disagree. Would you give up Bogaerts for a rental of Manny Machado?
Yep.
Would you give up Devers for a rental of Manny Machado?
If you gave me Britton, too, yep.
So you're still a yes on that?
I am. Again, if you're getting Britton, too, I'm in. But I don't think you can do that deal. And they won't. They won't. They wouldn't do either one of those. But Bogaerts, you're only going to have him for one more year. He's a free agent at the end of next season. Like, I would do that. That's a huge upgrade.
Yeah, no, Bogaerts I would.
That's a huge upgrade.
Devers I wouldn't. We got Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris, on the World Cup.
Hey, guys, how are you? Thanks for taking calls in the World Cup. I appreciate that. And, Jim, great job last week calling in the a-hole chair or during the fourth there.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, just really quickly, you guys are talking about the status of soccer in the U.S. I don't ever think the world is going to kind of be up to par on the level of soccer that they love compared to the U.S., in the sense that, like, the U.S., the MLS is really weak. I think for the U.S. to, like, actually become soccer fans, I think we're going to have to rely a lot on the Premier League, the Bundesliga, La Liga in Spain. I mean, the talent is just such a drop-off in the MLS. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then I really think...
Let me start with that. People always say that, and it's true. It's not even a top... I don't know, is it a top six league in the world? Top 10? I mean, soccer people would know better than me. It's not a top five league in the world, but... It is so much better than it was when it started. It was so much better than it was 10 years ago. It's not even funny. And what's to prevent it to keep getting better? So it'll never be the best league in the world. Let's just say that. What if it's the second or third? I mean, you have obviously the Premier League. You have Serie A there in Spain. You've got, or is that Italy? Whatever. You've got Italy, Spain, Germany, and the Premier League. And, you know, those are like the big four. And I don't know where the French league is, but what if you're in that conversation? What if you are not one, but instead of being 10, you're like the fifth or sixth, and you're just like Spain, or you're just like one of those other leagues that are not the premiership, but are close. That's not good enough? You better believe it's good enough. Give it time. I mean, the league is just, what is it, 20 years old? What was the NBA at 20 years? What was the NFL at 20 years? I think you could make the case if you look at, like, in that perspective, soccer's ahead of those leagues at 20 years.
And they draw, you know, pretty heavily in certain cities like Seattle, Kansas City. Like, people are way into it. Portland, same thing. But they also have dedicated stadiums. Well, Seattle doesn't. They play where the Seahawks do. But still, and that might help here if the Crafts were ever to do that.
I told you, I think by the time my kids have kids, like 2040 is where I sort of put the number. I bet you soccer will be a force. And when I say force, I think soccer could pass baseball by 2040.
We've got Steve in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Hi, Steve.
What's up, guys?
Go ahead, Steve. What do you got?
I just wanted to comment on the game last night. It was a great game. felt like a playoff atmosphere, and Mookie hitting that home run, and I'm reacting like that is probably going to get him hit. But I could use a nice bench clearing brawl right about now, going to the All-Star break like that. Have a good one, guys.
Just because you want to see it. Like, you know, usually you do that when you've lost 10 straight and the team needs to spark something. You don't do it when you're winning 10 straight and everything's working.
No, that guy truly sounded like he was inspired by that win last night. I mean, you could just feel the passion in his voice.
But does a moment like that last night, I mean, Murray came back and walked back his gutless losers comment to open up the show. So that got your attention, Murray.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that at bat. And again, it was more the reaction afterwards.
Absolutely.
It was like, oh, there really is something going on here with specific players like Betts. And so, you know, maybe the influence of Betts and that he's got balls. J.D. Martinez obviously does. We know that Chris Sale does. I mean, he's MFing into his glove the other night in a game. It was mostly in hand, but, you know, he's into it. Maybe the influence of those guys can help to affect the guys that are gutless losers like David Price. So that I'm walking back. The asterisk, though, no, that stays because the 10-game winning streak, please. Who have they played? Again, the win-loss record of those
Murray,
four teams, 108 and 170.
You can put an asterisk next to that Grand Slam home run if you want. Catch the pop-up, dude. It's right in your glove.
Please.
And, how about this? Don't walk Jackie Bradley, the worst hitter in baseball, when you have him 0-2. I mean, that one continues to blow me away. You've got Jackie Bradley 0-2. The best hitter in baseball, Mookie Betts, is sitting there on the on-deck circle. You've got the worst hitter in baseball, 0-2, and you walk him on four straight pitches where he doesn't even have to take the bat off his shoulders.
Right, he didn't throw another strike.
Jackie Bradley didn't swing that entire at-bat. That is unconscionable. Unconscionable.
Yeah, so look, and you know, the caller said it was like a playoff atmosphere. Wrong. To have a playoff atmosphere, you have to have a playoff opponent. There are no playoff opponents, really, in the American League this year. So that aside, look, the reaction with Betts told me that, you know, they're feeling it, right? And you know what? That's okay. I don't care whether they've beaten bad teams or not, because confidence and a little bit of swagger is what this team has lacked.
Here's Mike and Methuen with a soccer thought. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Just two quick points. One, if you really want a reason to root for Croatia on Sunday, they have two midfielders who play for the two biggest rivals on the planet in Barcelona and Real Madrid, Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic, and they're absolutely incredible to watch. The second point I was going to make, I think nationally soccer is nipping at the heels, I genuinely believe this, that it's nipping at the heels of baseball. But locally, until the Kraft sell the team, because I think they're the worst owners in the MLS by like a mile, I don't think soccer is ever going to gain any traction. I think there needs to be at least a relatively decent product locally to make people at least appreciate soccer enough to watch the Premier League, if that makes any sense.
It's fair, Mike. It's fair. I know the Krafts are very sensitive to it, and I'm sorry, but it's just facts are facts. It's they've been here since day one, no championships, no movement on a stadium. They still play in a horrible location on an AstroTurf field. They are consistently year in, year out at the bottom of the league in payroll. Consistently year in, year out have the fewest designated players in the MLS. It's been arguably the worst franchise in MLS. Arguably. I mean, it's still alive. It's still going, where others have sort of folded or merged or things like that. But you want to talk about one of the least successful teams in the entire domestic soccer program? It's here. And it's if the Patriots start with ownership, then how come the soccer team doesn't start with ownership? And that's just, I don't mean to bash the Krafts or any of that, but that's just the record. That's just the fact. That's just where that team is. And it's a missed opportunity, because I think this would be a good market for it. And I think it'd be a good place. And they'll eventually figure it out. They're going to have to. They'll figure it out. They'll get their stadium, and they'll start to invest some more money into it. And then they'll see that they sort of came at it too late, and they we should have, you know, once it gets there, and it'll get there, you'll look back and go, why didn't this happen 15, 20 years ago? It took way too long for them to figure that out. But that's just one of the things we're talking about on Agenda Free Friday. Some football things that we haven't got to, I want to hit on next, right after these words.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, I'm a Max guy, so I deserve the Max. And we just got to continue to take care of business on the court and let the cards fall where they may. But I'm happy for all the guards and all the other guys getting their money, because they deserve it. But, I mean, my time's coming. They know they got to bring the Brinks truck out. They know that.
How about this? Talk about a switch. Isaiah Thomas goes from demanding the max to getting the minimum. And that's what happened. Back up the Brinks truck. He was demanding of the Celtics. He's a max guy. That's what I am. When he comes up as a free agent, he just signed today with the Denver Nuggets for the veteran minimum. He went from the max to the minimum.
Back up the micro machine instead.
I mean, a year ago at this time, basically. Okay, basically. He was coming off a season in which he had averaged 29 points a game. He shot 91% from the line. He shot 38% from three-point distance. And, you know, there was a debate here as to whether or not he was like a real franchise guy. And now, $2 million with the Nuggets.
He's definitely taking it in stride, too.
The Nuggets.
Because on his Instagram story today, if anyone hasn't seen this, I'll retweet it at Big Jim Murray if you're not following IT on Instagram. Just a couple of things, some screen caps with some commentary from Lil IT, in which they showed the MVP candidates of a few years ago, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, of course, Isaiah Thomas with the commentary. So quick to forget. I'll remind them, though. He goes on with another photo.
What's wrong with having confidence in yourself, Murray?
Yeah, sure. No, but, you know, there's a lot of lack of self-awareness with that particular player, though. I think we know that. Isaiah Thomas is the first player under 6 feet tall to score 50 points in a playoff game. This with this big, yay, king of the fourth. He has the commentary, legendary poop. Don't get it twisted. Another one here, led team outright in scoring, longest single season streak since NBA merger.
This is all him posting this stuff.
Yeah, photos of, you know, a few years ago when he caught lightning in a bottle. And he says here, it's just MJ and Kobe, LOL, so quick to act like they forgot. Another one here he follows up with, it's all good though, I'll just stay on that hashtag, that slow grind, and get it how I live.
All right, so that's one of the things that you can weigh in today on an Agenda Free Friday brought by Planet Fitness. Isaiah Thomas signing with the Nuggets for the veteran minimum after demanding the max. That is, I mean, again, talk about a fall.
Unbelievable, right? Really. I mean, it's hard to find one more dramatic than that.
Two quick football things that I wanted to weigh in on. One is, Maz, if this happened to baseball writers and the Baseball Hall of Fame, I would spend days ripping my friends at the BBWAA. I would invest in a rip session on baseball writers that I haven't in years, except these are football writers pulling this, and I find it so gross and so brutal that I can't tell you. Here's what I'm talking about. Terrell Owens gets elected to the Hall of Fame after knocking at the door for a couple of years, and because he's all pissed off because he didn't get in earlier, he's not going to attend the ceremony in Canton. He's going to give a speech at wherever,
Tennessee, I believe it is.
Tennessee, Chattanooga, or whatever, you know, where he was from, or whatever. He's going to pull a move and not show up in Canton. When the writers heard this, some of them, was it Gary Myers? One of the guys said, one of the pro football voters, one of the voters said, if I knew he wasn't going to show up, I wouldn't have voted for him. Just think about that for a second. What are you voting for, you a-hole? Are you voting for those who RSVP? I thought you were supposed to vote on the best football players in the history of the game. Get over yourself. I find it outrageous. And if it wasn't Gary Myers, I apologize to Gary Myers. But it was, maybe it was King. It was one of these national football writers.
It was sanctimonious. It was probably Peter King.
One of these voters who said, if I knew he wouldn't accept the invitation to come, I wouldn't have voted for him. Oh, you a-hole, whoever you are. You think it's about you? You think it's about your stupid ceremony? You think it's about, that's what you think it's about? It's about the players. And oh, by the way, you still got O.J. Simpson in your hall. And you've got all sorts of other cretins and wife-beaten losers in your hall. And you said you would take a vote away from a guy because he's not going to show up for the ceremony? Who do you think you are? Oh, my God. You think it's about you?
I didn't know about this. So, it's a celebration of how right I was with my vote. That's
would you do me a favor,
sure,
Murray? And I don't mean to bark
the
order at you, but
crack
the
whip one last time here in Brighton.
I just want to know who it is.
Google it, Murray. Google it. Roll over and play dead.
Wasn't Gary Myers who said, and I like Gary Myers, but Gary, you've got to be kidding me. Dude, it's not about you. You're supposed to vote on who the best players in the game were, period.
Yeah, that's right. Alive, dead, or whether they would come or not.
And especially in your sport, where you have no morals clause, as evidenced by OJ and LT and all sorts of other cretins that are in your hall. You're going to pull this, I never would have voted. So now you're only going to vote for people who show up to the party? Oh, if a baseball writer had done that, God help me. But nope, it's a football writer. Who's doing it? If it's not Gary Myers, whoever it is, whoever said that. But either way, the entire hall now, the football hall has said, we're not going to recognize him on induction day.
I know, that is so bad.
Which is just as bad. So whether it's Gary Myers or someone else, they're all agreeing to this. Guys, hey, a-holes, it's not about you. No one cares about you. No one cares about you. No one. It's about the players. So why don't you be above it and do your job and quit worrying about getting into this little ping match with some a-hole? And that's what Terrell Owens is. Of course, Terrell Owens not showing up, a-hole move. No question. But you know what? He's an a-hole. You knew that. He's a dink. He always has been. Why don't you be above the thing and do your job and honor the best players in the history of the game? So this so diminishes, in my opinion, their authority to tell me who the best players are, because now you're casting votes based on whether you like the guy or not, whether he's going to come to your cocktail party, whether he's going to iron the yellow jacket or not. Like, what? Be bigger than the thing, and you still have, you show the Terrell Owens video, you honor Terrell Owens, you have someone come out and say a few words about Terrell Owens, then you say he chose not to be here, but we still wish him the best because he's a Hall of Famer and he deserves it, and you act like the big one, and you make Terrell Owens look like the a-hole. Instead, they compounded one a-hole move, Owens not showing up, with another a-hole move, them saying, well, you know, it's like Trump. Well, you're not coming? Well, you're not invited. Like, you children? Like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, my God. And I want to know who that was. Did we find it, Murray?
Still looking. It wasn't Gary Myers, though.
Okay, so again, I apologize to Gary Myers. Who what? There was a writer who said it.
I mean, it is, though. It's pathetic that the Hall of Fame now won't honor this guy. He's been voted in.
You guys are a joke.
That's bad.
Joke.
Really, that's as bad as it gets. That, like, on the day of the induction, they're going to pretend he doesn't exist.
All right, I did find it. I stand corrected. Gary Myers, he did tweet Thursday, Terrell Owens informed Pro Football Hall of Fame not attending induction ceremony. Unprecedented. Classy guy. If I knew he would not show up, I would have voted for somebody who would have.
Gary, you should lose your privileges. So, wait a minute. Now, whether you're a Hall of Famer or not depends on whether you show up for the cocktail party. You've got to be kidding me, dude. You've got to be kidding me. You think it's about you? You think it's about... I mean, oh, that's so bad. It is just so... And again, this is why I pay no attention to Hall of Fames. You do that on your own time. Good God. Oh, don't you find that just so unseemly? It's not...
And also unsurprising.
I mean, oh, my God. So he's not showing up for the day. That's not what it's about. It's about you voting for the best players ever. That's what it's about.
I'll tell you, though, but in his case, it's one voter, right? So,
but the whole body has basically supported him because okay, they're saying, we're not going to give you a day then.
Well, so that's the part that alarms me even more. That he, even after the fact, you get one guy coming out saying something stupid or saying something regrettable. Like, it happens. Okay, and I'm not defending him. I don't mean it to come off that way. But for them to come out then as an institution, as the Hall of Fame, on the day they're going to have the inductions and say, oh, yeah, we're not going to mention him. What?
Guys.
Like, he doesn't exist?
Let him be the a-hole. Let him be the one. Let him be the petty little child. And you just... You'd be above it because you're the Hall of Fame. You're supposed to represent the best of the best, and so just do that. And then if someone else wants to do the wrong thing, let the other person do the wrong thing. Oh, but to think that... So now you're not going to vote for the best players ever just because they won't show up for your party. Oh, that's so bad. So bad! Oh, so I want to get that off my chest. Then there's this Papa John story.
Oh my God, this one.
How do you pronounce his last name? Schnatter?
Schnatter, yeah.
Schnatter. John Schnatter. Okay, so this is fascinating how this all turned out. John Schnatter. Papa John. Okay, with the kneeling controversy last year, he was the guy that in a conference call, I think with investors or stockholders or something like this, called out the NFL for not getting this problem and quote unquote nipping this problem in the bud. And he was the guy that a lot of the folks on the right said, see, this is affecting business. See, this is a big business leader here who's taking a stand. The NFL's losing business and losing support. See, Papa John is already threatening and Papa John isn't happy. And so this is really hurting the league. But it turns out Papa John's just a racist. He's just another racist. Because this story comes out now. So the whole fallout from that killed Schnatter. Like when I say it really... His sales were dropping before. Then they really took a hit. Then he lost, I think, his chairmanship, or he lost some sort of standing there with the company. They lost the sponsorship with the NFL, who went immediately to Pizza Hut, their number one contender, their number one competitor. And the fall has continued at Papa John's. Because what happened is...
This story is unbelievable.
Of course, all the wing nuts started supporting Papa John. They became the official pizza of the alt-right. And this is like, that's not me saying that. This were like white supremacist groups and alt-right groups saying, Papa John's is now our official pizza. And at that point, Papa John and the Papa John's people went, whoa.
Right,
John's just a Republican and he doesn't like the kneeling, and so, but we're not the, and so now,
please don't co-opt us,
right,
please.
So they've been trying to separate themselves from the alt-right, which adopted them as the official pizza of white supremacists everywhere. So to try and curb this all happened now, to try and curb this, there was a call arranged between Papa John's executives and a marketing agency called Landry Services. It was designed as a role-playing exercise for Schnatter in an attempt to prevent future public relations snafus. Schnatter caused an uproar in November of 2017 when he waded into the debate over the national anthem protest, On the May call, this happened last month, 2 months ago. On the May call, Schnatter was asked how he would distance himself from racist groups online, which, again, I just told you, had adopted Papa John's as the official pizza of the alt-right. So they asked him how would he distance himself from these groups. He responded by downplaying the significance of his NFL statement. He said, quote, Colonel Sanders called blacks N's, and then he used the word on an open conference call. He says, Colonel Sanders called blacks N's, Schnatter said, before complaining that Sanders never faced such public backlash. Schnatter also reflected on his early life in Indiana, where he said people used to drag African Americans from trucks until they died. I'm reading from the Forbes report. He apparently intended for the remarks to convey his antipathy to racism, but multiple individuals on the call found them to be offensive. No. After learning about the incident, Landry Services owner, the owner of the PR firm, brought in to help Schnatter, fired him. They moved to terminate the company's contact with Papa John's. Schnatter then had to resign as CEO of Papa John's. He's they've since taken the Papa John's name off the stadium at Louisville, which he had funded. And the free fall continues. Can you imagine?
Hasn't Major League Baseball also severed its relationship with him?
So there's all sorts of now fallout that has just continued. Can you imagine the mindset of it? Well, it's the mindset of a racist to have the freedom to feel that he is somehow okay using that word on an open conference call in any setting to use it. But his defense, when the PR company says, John, what are we going to do so we cannot, no, so we can stop being the official pizza of white supremacists everywhere? We need to, you know, disabuse ourselves of this relationship, of this connection. What are you going to do about it? And his answer is, well, Colonel Sanders used to say this word and that word and this word, so what's the big deal? Can you believe that?
Unbelievable. No. The guy's a moron.
No, he's a racist.
Okay.
Well, Colonel Sanders used to call
What's the difference?
Colonel Sanders used to call him N's all over the place, and well, he was fine.
And he had fast food, and I have fast food. Come on.
And where I grew up, they used to drag him behind trucks. So, like, what am I doing?
Oh, yeah. This guy brings stupidity to new levels. So, ignorance and stupidity to new levels.
Just dial it back. This was the guy that stood on the right side of the anthem. So this is what hurts people on that side of the anthem protest argument, that this is one of your big guys. This is your guy. This was what a lot of people pointed to and said, well, you know, they're losing business leaders because of this, and they're losing business and support. And look at Papa John's. He's not going to take this lying down. Well, why isn't Papa John going to take it lying down? I mean, don't we know now?
Yeah, the guy's a complete a-hole. You do realize, though, you've opened the door for Mike from Woburn to call in now and say, how come no someone's not sticking a microphone in Peyton Manning's face? He was aligned with him. What does Peyton Manning think of this, huh? What's a conspiracy?
Well, that's a good point. Actually, I didn't think about that, but if you just want to take it down the line, I guess you could do that. Certainly, you could do that. But, John, we're in a mess now because white supremacists everywhere have adopted you as the official pizza of the alt-right. How do we end that connection? I don't know. What's a big deal? Colonel Sanders used to say the N-word all the time and nothing happened to him, except he says the word. Good Lord.
Oh, Mike. No. The story is unbelievable. It is. You couldn't possibly think someone is that stupid until he actually does it.
Or he just thinks that way. That's just who he is. Maybe it's not stupid. Maybe it's just that's how he talks. And he just happened to say it. It's always the wrong place to say it, but here.
Yeah, again, what's the difference?
He said it in a place that cost him. So I don't know if it's stupid. It's just who the person is. So anyway, those are my two football thoughts. Back to your calls after this.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Mookie Betts crushed a grand slam that helped the Red Sox beat the Toronto Blue Jays 6-4 last night, extending their winning streak to 10 games. Despite spotting Toronto an early 2-0 lead, David Price improved a 20-3 lifetime against the Blue Jays. It's the fourth most wins against them in Major League Baseball history and the most among active pitchers. Tonight, the four-game series will continue at Fenway Park. You get Rick Porcello on the mound for Red Sox. Toronto will counter with Ryan Borycki. First pitch, 7-10. In NBA news, free agent guard Isaiah Thomas agreed to a one-year, $2 million deal with the Denver Nuggets. Jimmy Butler reportedly declined a four-year, $110 million extension from the Minnesota Timberwolves today. In NHL news, the Vegas Golden Knights have agreed to a three-year contract extension with goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury, deal for an average of $7 million per, and will keep Fleury with the Golden Knights through the 2021-22 season. In NFL news, running back DeMarco Murray, at 30 years old, announced his retirement after seven seasons in the league. Kevin Anderson won his Wimbledon semifinal match over John Isner in 6 hours, 36 minutes today. It ended up being the second longest match at a major in history. And stemming from that story that was just being discussed here on Felger and Maz, the University of Louisville today announced the school will strip the Papa John's name from its football stadium, renaming it Cardinal Stadium. Headlines are brought to you by the New England Revolution. In action this Saturday at Gillette Stadium, you can get tickets right now by calling 1-877-GET-REVS. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Starts him off at 94 for strike one. 1-1. This has been one long inning for the Toronto starter.
You can tell by the way Mookie swings at it that he's just not picking it up. That ball's by him.
1-2. And a little pop-up foul off first. Smoke giving chase. Can he get there? It's off the glove and it falls onto the dirt. And Mookie Betts is still alive.
Oh, you can make them pay right now.
1-2 again. They'll do it again. A packed Fenway looking on. Roll foul. He's barely alive. Boy, it's been a couple of times in this at bat. He's barely alive.
He still has life.
And still has life.
Oh.
1-2. Spoiled again.
Wow. This is historic.
The 10th pitch of the at-bat is coming up. 1-2 to Mookie. And he missed with that. Dropped by Martin. 2-2.
Boy, his arm's going to fall off.
Now the 2-2 to Mookie Betts. Checked his swing and he fouled it away. And this crowd is into it.
Yeah, let's go. Get after it.
Bounce it up there. The runners will hang on at first, second, and third, and the count goes to 3-2.
I don't know, he's got enough energy to throw another fastball for a strike. Here we go. It's time to party. Right here.
3-2. High deep drive! Hey! He crushed it! It's a grand slam! Wow!
I'm telling you, it's time to party! How about that?
One of the most electrifying at-bats of the season, and I mean anywhere in the major leagues, Mookie Betts slaughters a grand slam. An incredible at-bat, an amazing inning.
Just this, the way the Red Sox are going, it was time to party again, I'm telling you.
Maz, how long was that at-bat?
7.5 minutes. And that- 7.5. The original audio cut we had was 9.5. But included some crowd at the end. If you go pitch to pitch, first pitch to the last pitch, 7.5 minutes for 13 pitches.
Wow.
7.5 minutes Mookie Betts was up there. Murray, you could have gotten pretty high.
Twice.
Yeah, seriously. Like, no, the first buzz wouldn't have lasted, for crying out loud.
Serious moment for the Red Sox last night. Your thoughts, Joe and Rosendale, go.
Yeah, boys, real quick, I just want to say, poor Isaiah Thomas. This guy gets tossed around more than my wife at a swinger party. But listen, yeah, that at-bat was so long. My buddy, he got up, he went and got a sausage for us. He came back, was like seven minutes, and then the guy hit the grand slam. We went bananas. Like, I honestly,
you
I just
still
don't
think,
have faith. In,
you, think that, you think they're soft, Joe?
I think they're soft as baby poop. Like, I just don't, I'm not sold on them yet. Like, I think they'll get in the playoffs, and I can see them getting swept, like, first round. Like, there's such, you know, they just don't have that grit. Like, I don't know. I
I hear you if you're going based on the last two playoff years, except even then, if they get swept, Maz, you'd be stunned. You'd be stunned if they laid down like that. Don't tell me you think that's in the cards this year.
Oh, I rule out nothing.
Oh, I do.
I rule out nothing.
I rule it out. If they get the Yankees in the DS and they lose to the Yankees or...
You couldn't see them getting swept by the Yankees?
No. Nope. No, sir.
If Sale loses game one, they can get swept.
No.
I'm with Murray.
Nope.
Now, look, I'll tell you right now...
They may not win that series, but they ain't getting swept.
I mean, it's hard not to like what they're doing right now, regardless of the competition. Because, again, to me, I look at it, the home run's one thing, fine, big deal, you beat Toronto. Like, whoop-de-doo. But the reaction that Betts showed to me is the real story. They're feeling it.
There's something going on there, man.
Yeah, and look, and I think in baseball it can get like that. Like, confidence can be a big part of it. We saw it in 2013. That team had no right winning the World Series in 2013. They weren't that good. They had a hell of a year, but they played above their ability because they started to believe they were legit. And if these guys start to believe that they are world beaters, then they might be.
Paul on the couch, go ahead.
Murray, I have this question for you about your whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
That asterisk should be removed after watching the Forwarder Network from Bristol today. Even they gave some great praise to the Red Sox on how they're playing. Normally that network will just bash the Red Sox or any other Boston team for anything they do wrong. Also, you got to realize that the Yankees lost 2 to Baltimore, and they basically play the same teams we play. They should have an asterisk by their name also.
Should the Yankees have an asterisk, fellas?
No.
Why?
Absolutely not.
Why? The league sucks for them, too. League sucks.
So they've beaten good competition.
So anyone who's got a good record should have an asterisk.
Wrong.
No. They're now 21-8 against playoff teams so far. They beat the Indians last night with 3 games left, and the Red Sox are cleaning up against crap. It'll catch up with the Yankees, too. They'll have to play the crap towards the end of the season. But right now, the Yankees have had a tougher schedule, and they have a better record against playoff teams.
Yeah, so the Yankees, it's true. The Red Sox are going to play more good teams at the end than the Yankees are. So it will. It'll catch up with the Red Sox at the end. But no, the asterisk is built on the fact that you've beaten bad teams.
I just think in baseball, it's hard to play that game.
No, it isn't.
Football, strength of schedule, yes. Baseball, everybody plays everybody at all.
Let me help you out with this.
Big, long sample.
Because I wanted the numbers because I knew I was still going to get mocked for the asterisk, which, by the way, sir, I'm not removing. Asterisk stays. Calling them gutless losers, that goes away. So at the All-Star break, the Red Sox will have played 23 out of 98 games against playoff-bound teams. The record, again, just a hair over 500, 12-11. In their final 54 games, they played 27 against playoff-bound teams. The Yankees? At the All-Star break, they will have played 32 out of 95 games against playoff-bound teams. That is 33% of their season. And again, as of today, 21-8 against those playoff teams. And with 3 left against the Indians, which I'm sure they'll clean up against them too, because they're the Yankees and
so
they're
better. We get to the end of the year and all those games against playoff teams have evened out and the Red Sox and the Yankees have a similar record, will you put the asterisk on the Yankees record then as well?
If the Red Sox beat these teams late in the year?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, but again, just keep it very simple. Against Boston, Cleveland, Seattle, and Houston, the Yankees are 17-6. 17-6. I get it right in front of me. I'll show it to you.
No, I don't doubt you.
You want me to print it out?
I'm not doubting you.
I can highlight it even for you if you want.
What's your point?
I'm telling you, they've played the iron and they've won. And they're not 5-4 playing 500 against the iron. They're 17-6.
They're 5-4 against you.
They're 4-0 against Cleveland.
5-4
against the Red Sox.
Thank you.
5-2 against the Astros. 3-0 against the Mariners. Add it up. 17-6.
Long commercial-free segment is next. More your calls, more of our best and worst from our time here at Brighton. We're leaving. It's our last day at our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. We'll get to some of the ownership run-ins we've had here in this building. There are many, many. And I have a giveaway for you, something for free right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Nash.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maserati. You may want to stay tuned. I think we're going to have a special guest in studio here coming very shortly. I don't know if I'm being put on or not, but it's a pretty big name. Someone we've been talking a lot about the last couple weeks. So we'll see if we're going to be joined by him or not, or if this is a joke. It is obviously not. Red Sox principal owner John Henry is joining us in studio right now. Surprise visit. John, to what do we owe the pleasure?
Well, when you're misleading the public, you know, you should be challenged on some of the things you're saying. And so I'm here to challenge some of the things you've been saying.
Well, it's October 2011. Felger and Maz here for the final time from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. At what I still call and think of as the TV 38 building. Like, for those of you who don't know what this building is, this used to be the TV 38 offices.
I mean, that's how I describe it to people.
And the studio, and I always just remember from driving down the pike, the stick, the antenna, the TV 38 antenna you used to see from the pike, and that was TV 38. And these are the studios and the building and the offices where the Bruins pre and post game, if you remember Pearson's Pointers from back in the 80s, or Gene Levanchi doing between periods Bruins stuff in the late 80s and early 90s. That was, I think, at this building, the TV 38 building. This is where, if you were a fan of the Movie Loft.
I was just going to say.
Dana Hersey.
Dana Hersey,
the
right?
Dana the Hersey movie loft. Movie Loft. In the middle of our building here, there's like some weird architecture with the ceilings, and that's because it was a loft that they then turned into two or three different floors and conference rooms. But the middle of this building used to be a huge TV studio loft, and that was the Movie Loft. And so this is where we've been. This is the TV 38 building that I call, whatever, Birmingham Parkway in Brighton. It's our last day here after 9 years. It'll be 9 years in August that we will have been here, and we're moving to Dorchester with Beasley Communications on Monday. So we're just doing our goodbyes and some of the best and the worst. And that had to have been, obviously, the most notable moment here in our 9 years in Brighton, as when John Henry, in October of 2011, after we're just mercilessly bashing him and the team following the Bob Holler story on Terry Francona, walks into our studio unannounced, and that's what it sounded like live.
Right, he walked into the lobby of the building and said... And
so this is my favorite. Can I? Do you mind if I tell this?
No, no, go right ahead.
Because I actually practiced this earlier because I wanted to get it right.
Okay, go.
Because it is. This is the best part of the whole story. We have we had a receptionist or a greeter. I don't know what... His name is Lee Dickman. So I'm not making a comment when I say Dickman. That's
Director
his name.
Director of First Impressions.
Lee Dickman, who we then decided to call Director of First Impressions, but he had a receptionist-type role. In the top floor, there were four stations here, and you had to walk into the reception area, and then you would go, and we're in the basement, and each floor had a different radio station, ZLX and AMP and blah, blah, blah. So Lee Dickman, who has a certain style of speaking, was and not really a big sports fan, manning the desk, and John Henry walks into the lobby and walks up to Lee Dickman with a handler, like he's got a driver or a handler there, and he walks up to Lee Dickman and says, I want to be on the radio.
I'd like to go on the air.
And Dickman says, well, of course, everyone wants to be on the radio.
Who doesn't?
Who are you? And John Henry said, well, I'm John Henry. And Dickman said, and I'm Lee Dickman. What station do you want to be on? Dickman has no idea who John Henry is.
It's amazing.
No, doesn't no know clue. Who he is. Has no clue who John Henry is. So John Henry says, I want to be on the radio. And Dickman's like, of course, everyone wants to be on the radio. Who are you? I'm John Henry. And I'm Lee Dickman. What does that mean to me? Where do you, what, who? So they had to explain to Dickman, you know, who he is and what he wanted. And someone ran down, Rick Radzik, our assistant program director, ran down and said, we think, Dickman, come on in here. Come on in. Come on in.
Just here you go, right here.
Come here.
Sit in that chair.
I can't even be in this room.
So this is like, you're allowed in this room.
No,
even you are allowed. You work for a competitor, but it's okay. We're leaving. So is that true? Did John Henry came in and said, put me on the radio, and you're like, who the hell are you?
100%.
Speak into the mic, young man.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I've never been on the radio before.
and so that's it. So how did he finally get through the security?
Well, I had to call somebody else. I had to call your boss. And I'm like, some guy's here, and he's crazy.
That's pretty much true. That's pretty much how it went down. Yeah, I do. I do remember that. Yeah,
and then you
had no clue who he was at the time.
No, and I still could never. I don't even remember what he looks like to this day. You know, I just remember him being old and creepy and making me very uncomfortable.
All right, so Lee is no longer the receptionist. What do you? I don't even know exactly what you went on to do.
I work in the back office for a different station, and I screw things up there now.
Aren't you on air?
On weekends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, leave station, but I don't even work with you guys.
Thanks for coming down.
Well, you're a special guest on the program.
Yes, we're going to miss you, and it was good working with you for 9 years.
Miss you guys too,
okay. Lee. Pleasure, pal.
Lee, thank
Seriously.
You.
Seriously, enjoyed
so,
it.
Anyway, there's Lee Dickman, and so someone walks in the commercial break. Rick Radzik walks into our room during the commercial break and says, "John Henry's here," and I immediately think, "All right, you know." Toucher and Rich, or someone's doing something.
Jones
like,
comes in because, with his impersonation.
Exactly, because Maz had been, like, we all had been, like, really just unloading on Henry. And, like, oh, you know, our big one is, well, John, you know, if we're going to talk about Terry Francona's marital trouble, how about you, old buddy? Is Linda your third? And what happened to the second? And so we really started, like, laying it on, right? Like, you know.
I'm a swordsman. I think that one hit a nerve, is my guess.
So
yeah.
We really started hitting it hard. And so, like, someone's pulling our leg. And he came in, Radzik did, just before, as we were coming back from commercial. And so that's why I say there, I think we might have a special guest. I don't know. Oh, nope. Actually, here he is, because he just walked into the room. And there you go. So that was the John Henry thing.
Oh, Mike, I still can't believe that it actually happened. I mean, for some reason, I always thought it was a lot earlier than that in the process. Like, I thought it was
October 2011, we'd just been on the air for 2 years. The simulcast had not yet started, unfortunately. The simulcast started, like, 3 weeks later. If you had just waited a couple weeks, it would have been much better.
And, all you know, one of the worst things, Murray, is that we had a picture of him on the bulletin board in the studio of him and Linda. His wife, Linda Pizzuti, sharing an ice cream cone. And we thought, oh, isn't that cute? And we stuck it on the wall. Fortunately, he didn't see it, although he knows about it now.
Did you guys know that? Yes, we did, John. He was doing his thing with the picture behind him, licking the ice, Dr. Creepy licking the ice cream right over his shoulder. And he never really noticed it. But so that was one. And so, I mean, nothing would really compete. He sat in there for an hour. And
I think it was longer than that. I think he was with us on the air for almost 90 minutes.
Pretty good.
Larry Lucchino runs the Red Sox.
Thank you. Yes, he does, John. Yes, he does. And he spoke like that the whole time. That's how he really speaks.
He got really mad at me during one of the breaks.
So angry.
Let it out, John.
Can't say blame.
You can yell if you want. Believe me, we yell at each other all the time. It's fine.
Where was it?
Oh, it's so much stuff. He does. So we took one break in the hour and a half, or however long he was here. We took one break. The lights went off. He put down his headset. And he looked at Maz and goes, what happened to you?
I said, I used to like you.
I used to like you.
I still do like him. He's not a bad guy.
So nothing compares to that. There is no second place. But I do. We were trying to go over some ownership stuff in here in the building and what happened. I do remember when Whit Grosbeck shushed Steve Pagliuca. And it's not going to translate very well, but Steve and Whit came in here to do a joint interview. And Pag started to say something. And I remember Wick basically saying, Pag, shush.
Not going to. Almost done.
It's just a nothing, small, little dinky moment.
Almost done.
And I don't know why I remembered that. There was a time where I told Whit Grosbeck not to treat us like Yahoo fans. Like they were, you know, in the playoff games, they put like T-shirts out.
Right, right.
For the, like, you know, like in these Yahoo towns in Oklahoma City, everyone wears the white T-shirt because they have nothing else to wear. Those yokels. So like, don't do that to us here in Boston. I started to chirp at Wick about that. So how did that go?
Okay, you know, again, just so you know, I'm joking about the green T-shirts. Please don't do that again. I know you've done it a few times in the past.
You know, we don't tell them, you know, this section's a letter C and this one's a letter E and L and T. I mean, we'll give you a T-shirt. I mean, people like getting T-shirts, but we don't ask them to wear them at the games. And you look at our fans, that's an authentic crowd.
That's what I'm saying. Because you know you're in Hooterville if you're all wearing the same color T-shirt. Don't turn us into Hooterville.
Well, they're going to be Flager and Maz T-shirts. How about that?
Okay. Ha, ha, ha. Yuck it up. Do we have just one little clip of Cam Neely taking a shot at Maz? How about that?
Cam Neely joining us on the horn. Cam, last week, while I was tanning myself and tanning very proficiently, I might add, you and Maz, I think, caught a lot of people's attention when, out of nowhere, I think, Maz asked you, had you closed the door on Dennis Seidenberg coming back?
Yeah, he came right out of left field.
Yeah.
I warned you about
that. Did you text him that or something, Mike?
Someone must have. Because Maz is not that smart.
What is that supposed to mean? Right. What are you saying? I'm not capable of coming up with that question on my own?
Well, it was hockey related.
Right. Excellent.
Tremendous.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a little shot at Maz.
Yeah, I haven't forgotten it, Cam.
No, Cam enjoyed
it. Watch your back, pal.
I don't think Cam was the biggest fan of Felger and Maz. But anyway, we're continuing to go over the best and worst from our time here at our Brighton building. We'll have some more stuff next hour. But also got to tell you about the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive. Saturday, the 14th, you can donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. The first 80 donors will receive a coupon for a free appetizer from Waxy O'Connor's. You can just walk in or schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. So again, that is tomorrow at the Best Western in Woburn. Give. The American Red Cross is in need of blood, so they're really pushing a blood drive right now, so come help the cause on that. Agenda Free Friday continues with no commercials after the update.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, Beasley Media Group Station.